The Church of Christ has a problem. Oh, it's not that the church is unique today in the 21st century any more than it was in the first century. Paul remarked to the church at Corinth, "I hear that there's divisions among you, and this should not be." Paul spoke about the Ephesian brethren and how some of them wanted to go back into what Paul called the beggarly elements, the feeble, weak elements of the old law. Paul chided many of them by saying, "You surely don't want to do that. You have fallen from grace. You need to be aware." I want this morning to take just a little bit of time to summarize the thoughts that we've had on the subject of hope, of being in Christ, of being saved. And I want to issue a warning. I want to challenge each of us and our families, related families, concerning the future. Now, it may be in your mind already, you're thinking, "Okay, Paul, are you going to warn us about falling away? If you do, you don't have to worry about that." That's not true. I dare say that each of us can kind of rewind in time over the last 5, 10, 20 years and can maybe bring to our mind's eye right now some that are not here who were here 10 years ago or 20 years ago. I want to create for you two individuals. They're real people. It really happened. You do not know them. They're not from around here. Lloyd is one of them. James is the other one. One of them served as an elder of the Lord's church for decades. But over the course of events that transpired in his life, marital changes, other changes, influences of the world, Lloyd fell away from the church. Having served as an elder, having exhorted other people, having watched over the flock, having done the best that he could do, and very ably and capably led the flock of God. But he fell away from God. And I'm not the judge. I'm not the one that he's going to stand before in judgment. But outward appearance, it's pretty evident he was not faithful when he died. He's going to be lost. James is one of the finest men in the community where he lives, a leader in the community. He's just one of the best men that you could ever be around just about. But because of a kind of a conflict with a preacher in years past, and he decided, "I'll have nothing to do with church if that's the way it is." Oh, he had a family full of Christians. They were faithful and still are, but he hasn't been in the church's door in years. He's still alive. LaDonna and I saw him recently. We have talked to him and pled with him and encouraged him to get back right with God. Don't die outside of Christ. But in both of these cases, I could go back and literally, when the time when they were faithful, when they were worshiping, it'd be just like you and I right now. I mean, everyone looked at them and thought, "That's the best Christian. I mean, they're going to go to heaven." One of the points on the last page of our last lesson sheet was, be cautious, take heed, you can fall. We can let Satan get in our mind. And Satan plays havoc. And he tells us, they don't care. You can't make it. You're going to fall. I mean, you're not going to go to heaven anyway. Why even try? In 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 12, Paul said, take heed lest you fall. In Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 12, we hear that it is very possible for us to stop believing. In John chapter 15, Jesus, through the writer John, said, I am the vine, you are the branches, but you can be cut off or severed from me. In Matthew chapter 25, Jesus himself says that a servant, one that is in Christ, one that is working for Christ, can be lost. In Acts chapter 5, Luke chapter 8, we read about how that it's possible for a child of God to lie and be lost away from God. Or that we as a sower, even working in the kingdom of God, may be lost. In 2 Peter chapter 2, Simon Peter spoke in verses 20, 21, and 22. And he spoke about those that had come to a knowledge of the truth, had obeyed the gospel, but are overtaken and entangled again in the way of the world. Folks, those terms should cause us to tremble. I came out of the world. I came out of darkness. I obeyed the gospel. I entered the kingdom of God. But Peter says that I can be overcome and entangled again in evil things and worldly things. And then Peter went on to say, the latter end is worse than the beginning. It'd been better not to have known than to have known and turn away from the way of truth. What Paul is telling us and Peter is telling us and Jesus, because you remember Jesus said, I'm going to go back and ask the Father to send the Comforter of the Holy Spirit and he shall guide you into all truth. He should tell you about me. What Jesus himself, by inspiration of this holy book, is saying, we can start as a Christian. We can leave the world and now be in Christ, saved. But that's not a set in concrete condition. I can be saved and have hope, have the promises of God, know that at that point I'm going to go to heaven if I die, if I depart from this earth, a departure, as Paul spoke about it. But Satan's still working. We sometimes say, God's still working on me and I'm not done yet. And that's a good point. But Satan's also the devil in his vicious lies and his cunning craftiness. He's also working on us. He has lost control of us for that point. We are now in Christ. We're not serving Satan anymore. And he doesn't like that. And folks, he's going to try. He's going to work zealously, aggressively to get us back, to get us to abandon or forsake God. I've often wished to know what Demas had so attractive to him in the world. 2 Timothy 4, verse 10 is where it's found. Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world. What about this world? I don't know, and he didn't tell us, and it doesn't really matter. But I can parallel that to a lot of things in this world that seem so attractive to maybe Lloyd or James. Or then I can add kind of a category of people over here. Many of our young people. One of our quick reference cards is, why are the young falling away, so many of them? And that was a struggle for me to put together the answer to that question. I can say that this was an attraction, et cetera, but one thing, no, it's many things, but it's the world and its attractions. It maybe is the sexuality, it maybe is the monetary, it may be the popularity, it may not wanting to be separated from all of my friends and peers, whatever it may be that is attracting so much of the world to our young people that is causing them to fall. And number two of our lesson, how to take heed to keep from falling. Folks, that should be a most important matter to each of us. You see, I can read in Galatians 5:4, you have fallen from grace. He wrote that to the Galatian brethren. They were faithful, but now they're not faithful anymore. I mean, we can fall away. Heads up, alert. Be on guard. What can I do? In Hebrews 2, we're told to watch. In James chapter 4, we're told to resist and fight. In 1 Peter 2, we're told to follow the steps of Jesus. In James chapter 4, we're told to pray fervently and consistently. In 2 Peter chapter 1, we're told to add to our faith virtue and knowledge. We're to grow and mature. And in 1 Corinthians 10, we're to be ever cautious, taking heed, on guard, taking and looking at ourselves inventory-wise, seeing where we are today versus a week ago, a month ago, a year ago, and saying, am I growing? Am I maturing? Am I as faithful as I was then? Am I more faithful? You know, we want to do that sometimes financially. A financial statement tells us kind of where we are, looking at where we were a year ago. But why wouldn't there be a spiritual statement that I would hunger to have kind of how God is looking at me right now? And is He pleased with from a year ago until this very moment in time? Does He look at me and say, you know, Paul's growing. Paul has really developed. And you fill in your name in those blanks. Number three on our outline, the ones who have fallen need to be restored. Come back to that state of where they have hope in Jesus Christ, the blessed assurance in Jesus Christ. We don't just throw them out in the trash and let them burn. In Galatians chapter 6 and verse 1, Paul told the church at Galatia, brethren, you restore such a one as has been overtaken in a fault, and you restore him in a spirit of weakness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Paul was acknowledging that here's a church, and some have fallen away. How do you react to that? Well, you don't just let them go. You don't just say, well, they made that choice. That you don't just say, well, they knew better. Paul says, you that are spiritual, restore. You try to bring them back. You go to them, you let you know them. You tell them you're praying for them. You tell them you love them. You tell them that you are hoping and praying that whatever you can help to do to help get them back. You restore such a one in a spirit of meekness, not haughtiness. You ought to have known better than that. No. Brother, I want you to know we love you. I want you to know we care for you. We're concerned about you. We make mistakes too. All of us do. But we're all just trying to get to heaven. No, we want to go there. We want you to go with us. We restore such a one in a spirit of meekness, considering yourself. If ever there was that point in Scripture that says, watch out, take heed, look at yourself, considering yourself, Paul says, lest thou also be tempted. Well, the time that we have left, Let's look at point K on our outline that addresses the thought of hope that is maintained to the end. We've stated over and over, just obeying the gospel, believe, repent, confess, and be baptized. That's just the beginning point. That gives us hope. We're in Christ, assured. But we've got to hope to the end. No matter how much longer we live after we obey the gospel, God doesn't judge us based on what we were when we came up out of the water only, but how we are a year, 10 years, 20, 30 years later. I was pure without sin here. What am I 20 or 30 years later? Have I continued in the Word? Colossians 1. Have I added to my faith virtue, knowledge, temperance, patience? 2 Peter 1. Have I gone on to perfection? That is mature. Hebrews 6, 1. Have I sought first the kingdom of God? Matthew 6, 33. Am I living as an example, walking in the steps of Jesus? 1 Peter 2. In the back of the little book called Ready Reference for Growing Christians, we made the decision, an executive type of decision, I guess, after all of these 100 subjects are covered, to add some charts. The chart of how to become a Christian, number one, because we never know who's going to get the book and who may read it and need to know that. And then another chart of after baptism, two of them actually. One is after baptism, what does God expect? The other is after baptism, I've got to be cautious, aware that I can fall. What God expects, and be aware of the fact that it's not a sealed, done, once and for all action, and I'm going to be saved no matter what I do, what I don't do, how I don't live for Christ. No, that's not true. I've got to continue in Christ. I must finish the course. That is of utmost importance. In 1 Corinthians 9 and Hebrews 12, the inspired scripture compares our life as a child of God to running a race. I cannot just merely get at the beginning line of that race and say, all right, I'm registered, I'm signed up, I'm at the right place, I'm fixing to run the race. And then the gun goes off figuratively and I start living. But I run a mere few feet or maybe a few yards and then I stop. Oh, I see maybe the finish line way down there. I don't ever get there. I know what it's going to take. I just don't give it. Paul says that we must complete the work of our Savior. He himself determined to finish the race. The word perseverance or endurance or maintaining that is of crucial importance to receiving the crown. Only those that are at the right place, start at the right way, start running the race, live the race daily for however long they continue to live on earth and reach the finish line are going to receive the crown of righteousness. It's not a matter of first or second. We all can. It's a matter of getting to the finish line, faithfully running the race. Every single time we read of hope, We read of blessed assurance. We read of the confidence of knowing that the crown of righteousness is ours, is hinged on being faithful. May I restate, I'm not the judge. I'm not the one that's going to be there judging Lloyd and James or our young people or others. But God has stipulated already the conditions. Revelation 2:10, be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. Matthew 10:22, endure to the end, and you shall be saved. The promise, the hope, is to those that are faithful to the end. In Revelation 14 and verse 30, blessed are the dead who die in the Lord. That is, faithful in the sight of the Lord, living the Christian life. And the reason I can ascertain and determine that Lloyd and James and anybody else in the similar condition is not going to hear the Father say, well done, is because they are not in the Lord, faithful in serving Him. They are out of Christ. They have abandoned and walked away. Or, to put it in 2 Timothy 4:10 words, they have forsaken the Lord. One that has forsaken the Lord is lost. You may sit here today and sing, oh, how I love Jesus. I want to be a worker. I love thy kingdom, Lord. Sing to me of heaven and any other similar song. But if you in the future turn away from God and cease serving God and not faithful in His sight, that hope that you have is lost. We've seen reports on television. I guess maybe the most that really tug at our heart is when a little small 4 or 5 or 6 year old child is lost. And we have these mental images of that little child in the darkness of the night, wandering about, stumbling about, falling down, maybe dogs or wolves or whatever it may be that might do them harm. Lost. But the four-letter word lost, when used spiritually, applied to us when we turn away from God and we're lost, should keep us awake at night. Should motivate us to say, Lord, I'm coming home. I've wandered so far away in sin. Lord, I'm coming home. So I can once again have the hope. So I can, even as the Apostle Paul, when he said, I have fought, I've finished, and I've kept. Henceforth there is a crown of righteousness that awaits me, and not to me only, but unto all them that love is appearing. 2 Timothy 4:6, 7, and 8. Are you in Christ? Are you ready to meet Him in judgment? Do you today have that confident hope, the assurance of the promises of God applying to you, and you're doing the best you can? And yes, you stumble at times, just like we all stumble at times, but we have gotten up and we've said, Father, forgive me. I made a mistake. I sinned. I shouldn't have done that, but I want to do better. That I can hear Him say one day, well done. If you're not right with God, if you need to come to the Savior, if you need to make some corrections in your life, won't you do that right now as we stand and sing?